I want to read just a little bit from 1 Corinthians. This is one of the Pauline epistles. Paul wrote quite a number of epistles while he was in jail. Beginning at the first verse, first chapter, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, in the fourth verse, he tells us here that we are to be thoroughly furnished to come behind in nothing, in that in everything we are to be enriched by Christ in all utterance and knowledge. You know, a lot we could say tonight when it comes to knowledge, utterance. You know, one writer said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Thank you, Frank. Having a knowledge of God, it's imperative that we have a knowledge of God. not a knowledge of the world, but a knowledge of God. You know, I want to say this again. When we speak of the knowledge of God, Paul one time, he was speaking to some people, and he reproved them because of their spiritual ignorance. He did it because of lack of understanding. Said he rebuked them because of the lack of their knowledge in God. You know, we don't want to come behind in knowledge. The knowledge of God is what we need in our heart. And if we are lacking in the knowledge of the Word of God, then we can never have the great benefits of God. You know, there's one thing that we really need to latch on to, folks, and that is that the good things of God can only come through the knowledge of God. If there is no knowledge of God, there will be no good things of God. I marvel a lot of times I come into church, and this has always been and always will be, I come into the church, other ministers come into the church, the people don't care to grow in the knowledge of God. They don't care to know more about God. They don't care about applying themselves in such a way that they can come to a greater understanding of God. But they care for the things of God. When it comes to eating and drinking and living and going to the beaches and being in the water and under the shade trees and eating the fruits and everything that God has made, everything that God has given, life here in eternal life, everything, health and happiness and joy and radiance and abundance of jubilance, they'd love all of that. But they don't want to spend any time learning about God. But the Bible teaches, because they don't like to retain the knowledge of truth, in their understanding, God has given them over to a reprobate mind to let them or cause them to believe a lie and be damned. See, you cannot have the things of God without the knowledge of God. It highly displeases God when people want to remain in a spiritual state of ignorance and still have all the good things of God. Let me enjoy life. Don't laden me down with a lot of understanding. You know, people in this world, they would love to have everything the world has to offer. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to go to college. They don't want any perseverance. They don't want any endurance. They don't want to have to work on a job. They don't want to have to put in any hours of toil. Just give me everything, you know, and let somebody else do the work. That's the world. But you can't have the things of the world unless you get the understanding of the world. You can't do it. There's no way. Oh, somebody said, well, I can work and get them. That's good. That's good. If you've got God, you can work and get them. That's fine. But if you work and get them and you don't have God, the world is smart enough with their intellect that they'll weasel you out of it and you won't have it in a little while. The man with the book and with the figures and with the law on his side, he'll soon take everything you've got because he's got a little taxes here and he's got a little bit over here and a little bit over here, and after all, you didn't own it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? So the man with the know-how is going to wind up getting it whether he worked any or not. It's the same way in the things of God. We have got to come to the knowledge of God, or the devil will weasel us out of everything that belongs to us. The devil will take that carnal mind out yonder and work through that old tree of knowledge. And he will work around till he weasels us out of everything like he did Adam and Eve. And he'll keep it within his grip. Make himself a great empire as he has done out of it. A great kingdom. And you and I will be on the losing end of it and won't have anything. All because we wouldn't listen to God. The Bible tells us that the people of God perish from the lack of knowledge. What else could be the reason for man's perishing? Why does man die to begin with? Because he doesn't understand. Why does man get sick? Because he doesn't understand. Why does he have all the problems that he has? He doesn't understand. He literally perishes because he doesn't have the knowledge of God. He doesn't like to retain the knowledge of truth.
in his mind. The knowledge of God tells him not to do this and not to do that. And you can't take part in the lust of the world. And you've got to leave off with these things, because they will kill you. You know, a mother will say to a child, the mother will say, "No, you can't do that." The old fogey, he'll stick out his tongue at her when she turns her head. Off he'll go to do it anyway. She'll say, "You can't go down to the swimming hole, Junior. You'll get drowned." No, not for Junior. As soon as the head's turned, here he goes. He don't know how to swim, but he's still going. He might can paddle, dog paddle a little, but he doesn't need daddy. He doesn't need mama. He knows how to do it. You understand what I'm saying? There might be a big snake laying around. Junior might get bit. You may have to bury him because he wouldn't listen. He doesn't like to retain the understanding that could save his life. He don't like to retain that in his knowledge, in his understanding, in his way of life. He doesn't like to incorporate that in his way of life. And yet it's the very thing that can save his life. We don't want to put anything in our lives that's going to tell us that we can't do everything that this old lustful passion, these old lustful passions or this old lustful body wants to do. We just want to eat and drink and relax and do nothing, and after a while we'll just rot and die. There are certain things that man has to do. He has to know. And if he doesn't want to know them, he'll wind up some great big fat slob, as the world calls it, sitting on a bench, so fat he can't move around. That's the title they give it. So fat he can't do nothing, he's out of proportion, want to eat, won't listen to anybody, just want to satisfy his appetite. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Somebody else has got to have such a beautiful body and figure, or keep doing without and dieting until they get down to where they look like a rail. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." And they'll get so faint they'll have a heart attack after a while. They get so pulled down in their body. What is it? People don't want to listen. They don't want to level up in life. One man just wants everything that he can get, all the money he can get. He don't care how he gets it, don't care who he kills, don't care what heartaches he causes, who he steals it from, how many mothers or children goes hungry. That's not important to him, as long as he can get it in the bank and he knows it's his. But the man shortens his days by his disobedience. We don't listen. We don't want God's knowledge. We don't want to reverence the house of God. We don't want to honor the ministry that God sent to save our lives, to perfect our faith, to bring us into eternal life. We don't want to do that. We don't want to listen. We don't want to learn. We don't want to obey. We would like to do just exactly what we would like to do. And if we feel like that there's something that the preacher said that doesn't cut across something we want to do, well, we'd like to incorporate that in our lives. And if there's anything that he did say that cuts across our way of life, we'd like to just exclude that. Consequently, we wind up in trouble. There is no way to alter the things of God. There's no way to change the things of God. The Bible said, "My people perish from the lack of knowledge." They've got to come to a place to where they want God's knowledge at any cost. They want the understanding of God if it's going to make them live in the hog pen. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Now somebody would say, "Well, I think you're going too far. If the knowledge of God is going to take me to the hog pen, I don't want it." It's like a Negro preacher told a man one time, you've heard me say this, and it comes to my mind since I made that statement. Said the white man kept coming out to him and saying, "I want what you got. I want what you got." He said, "Well, it's salvation." He said, "Well, what do I have to do to get it?" He said, "Get in the hog pen." And the man said, "No, I don't see that." He said, "Well, you can't have it." So then he came back and he got more laden and he got more worried and got more trouble, and he kept coming back. And finally he said, "I'm ready to get in the hog pen." He said, "You can have it. You don't have to get in the hog pen. You just have to be willing to get in the hog pen." So all he was trying to do was get the starch out of him. That's all. It wasn't necessary for the man to go down to the Jordan River in a muddy river and be baptized in it, or to be ducked in it, as we say. That wasn't necessary to get the healing of God, but to get the starch out of him, he had to go down there so he could get the healing. And that's the way it is with us. There are certain things that we've got to do. We've just got to come to the place to where we're willing to do anything that God wants us to do and everything that God wants us to do before we can have what God wants to give us. We're going to have to die out to ourselves and get rid of ourselves and come down to a real simple way of life, a plain, easy down, not an easy way of life. It's not real easy, but it's easy in that God is with you. Down to a low level of life, condescend to men of low estate, a low level of life, trying to be like Christ, stop trying to make a name for ourselves and be something great and just want to be like Jesus. When we get like that, then God will come and take up his abode with us and everything will be all right. But see, everybody feels like they're the somebody. And consequently, everyone that feels like that happens to be the nobody. And everyone that feels like they're nobody happens to be the ones that are somebodies. They just haven't discovered it yet. The man that beat himself on the chest and cried out, I do this and I fast and I pay tithes and I'm a somebody, he said. He cried out to God and told what he was. You know, look at me, what I am and what I do. God said, you ain't nothing. That was what God told him. Not in words that we're reading the Bible, but he just said, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. When you get like that, you ain't nothing. But the other fellow pounded on his chest and said, my God, I ain't nothing. God said, you're everything. You're everything. You know what the difference is? The man that thinks he's everything, he doesn't have Christ on the inside. And he's nothing. And the man that feels he's nothing, he's got God on the inside. And God sees Christ in him. And he's everything. Because whatever we are by the grace of God. And we are because Christ lives on the inside of us. Today, I am what I am by the grace of God. I have to come down to men of low estate. Jesus washed the brethren's feet. Got down in a humble manner. Not many mighty are called, Paul said. You're not going to get, you know, the world is trying to get the banker in. They're trying to get the dentist in. They're trying to get the lawyer in. They're trying to get the doctor in. They're trying to get the millionaires in. Why are they trying to do that? What do they want with all the professional men and the millionaires? The Bible said that salvation is sent unto the poor. If God sent salvation to the poor, why are they trying to give it to the rich? God didn't send it to the rich. Now right there I'd run into a dispute, wouldn't I? These polished scholars and these men that are looking for money and titles and PhDs and doctors of divinity, they'll say, right there, Mr. Pike, is where we cross up. You know why? Because they're after the dollar and they're serving the God of the dollar and I'm serving the God of the Spirit. That's why we cross up. They're trying their best to bring the world into it. And I don't mean this in any way sacrilegious, but that's what's wrong with Billy Graham right now. Billy Graham is trying to get the Muslims. He's trying to get over here on one hand. He's trying to get the Muslims. Over here he's trying to get the Christians. Over here he's trying to get the Jews. Over here he's trying to get the Catholics and get all of them together. And he says if all of them can come together and we can pray one prayer to the Lord, that'll take care of things. All we got to do is come together and pray to the Lord. That isn't going to take care of anything. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that if all of them begin to call on the Lord, that's going to take care of things? It certainly is not. The Bible said the prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. All it's going to do is upset the Lord. Now you say, well, just look what he will have accomplished. If he gets the Muslims to come together with the Christians and the Catholics to come together and all of them, why anybody could do that. Now somebody say, I love Jesus. I said you can reach out to them and get all the devils you want to and they'll be glad to come into the church. And they'll be glad to come in with the Christians. All of them will. But God didn't say do that. He said cast out the devils. That's what he said do. Separate the sheep from the goat. Pluck up the tares. Purge out the old leaven. Be a new lump. He didn't say put them all together. That's where the problem is now. They are trying to put everything in the church. God doesn't want it in the church. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Catholics, all of them say, boy, we've got to have this in the church and we've got to have that in the church. And as a result of that, they've got tennis ball players and they've got football players and they've got basketball players and they've got murderers and liars and cheats and harlots and drunkards and swindlers and sharks and everything in the church. So what happens? If you get a shark in the church, you've got to get some of them to feed off of. If you get a basketball player in the church, you got to get him a basketball team to pacify him. If you get a football player, you got to have a football team. If you get a pool shark, you got to get a pool table. If you get a tennis champion, you got to go into the tennis business. And after a while, what have you got? Nothing but the world. God doesn't want them to come together. He didn't even let them marry, didn't even let them intermingle in the days of the children of Israel. He said, if you even marry out of your tribes, they will turn your heart away from God. All of them coming together and all of this kind of thing, supposed to be God and coming together in a great thing, ain't a thing in the world but of the devil. And Satan is going to use Billy Graham to be one of the greatest instruments to do it. Now you just watch and see what I'm telling you. Bringing all of this together. And everybody will say, that's it, that's it. That's what God wants, is all of his children together. I agree that God wants all of his children together, but all of the people in this world ain't God's children. God said to some brute beasts that's made to be taken and burned, the Bible said, that are adulterers and fornicators and liars and cheats. The Bible said such do not have any part in the kingdom of heaven. It's not God's will just because somebody says, I love Jesus, to bring them into the church and say they are a Christian. That's not God's pleasure. Somebody said, well, you've just got to keep them around there, Brother Pike, or you'll never win them. You keep them around there and you'll have a dozen bad apples in a little while if that rotten one stays in there. How are you going to convert a rotten apple over to a good apple? How can you do it? It's done past the stages of being converted. It's been past that stages. It came through that. That's why it's rotten to begin with. It wouldn't be rotten if that wasn't it. Now, for going out into the world preaching the gospel to every creature, I'm for that. But when you take religious people, it's done past the stages, done heard the gospel, them people are rottening. And if you put them in among you, all they're going to do is rotten what you've got and ruin your crop. So then you can't do that. God isn't asking that. God doesn't want that. The only one that wants that is Satan. Satan would like to consolidate his kingdom, and you mark my words, you may live to see this come to pass. It looks like you will. I hope we've all gone on to heaven in the rapture. But you mark what I'm telling you, because it's going to happen just exactly that way. Billy Graham, along with the Pope and the others, they're going to bring the world together. Muslims, all of them are going to come together. And they're going to do it in a charismatic move. Now watch and see. I said years ago they'd do it before the charismatic ever sprang up. I said they'll do it in that kind of move. And I said the Catholic Church will bless that kind of move and all of them will go into it. And they're doing it. And you watch and see. When they bring it together, they're going to get one great disappointment, and that disappointment is this one thing, that when the devil feels like that he has completely consolidated his kingdom, has everything perfectly united, just about the time he feels he's got it, the Jews is going to balk on him. Now watch and see if it don't happen. The Jews is going to balk on him. Just like it was in the days of that king when he said everybody's going to worship the golden image. When them three Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we are Jews. That's all right for you Babylonians, but we're Jews. And we're not going to do it. And he had a problem on his hand. And it's going to be the same way in the day that we're living in. They're going to balk on them. To begin with, they're going to be part of the kingdom, just like Daniel was, just like the Hebrew children was, and everything's going to look all right. But right at that last minute, when they think they've got everything just right, they're going to find out that the Jews is going to balk on them, because the Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And you can be a religious cult all you want to. And Jesus said, they'll come in my name and they'll talk about Jesus. They'll say, we're coming together in the name of Jesus. But I want you to know something. Because people come together, just come together saying we're coming together in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean that they are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that at all. When you gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, devils go every which way. Because the name of Jesus Christ will drive devils out. When Jesus Christ stood and preached the gospel in his day, the devils and the demons stood up in the services and raised their voice, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? Now, the unclean spirits cried out. And I say that the same thing works today. If you've got the Holy Ghost, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in your midst, and you got Jesus' name in your midst, and you're praising and worshiping God, the devils and demons will fly out the doors like feathers. Those people that's got those spirits on them will either get them off and come to the altar and get in with you, or either they'll let the devil take them out of here, and I mean in a hurry. So then, that's where it's all headed. You say, well, I don't believe that. Why don't you wait and see? As sure as we're in this world, Billy Graham's one plan is to bring Muslims and Catholics. Now, you know Muslims are heathens. Of course, no more heathens than Catholics. But nevertheless, going to bring them all together, all of them together. All of them are coming together. I hate to have to say it, but there are no more heathenistic than some Protestants. I know there's some Catholic people that love God, and I'm sure there's some people among the Muslim people that's been blinded, that if they heard the name of Jesus, they'd come out of that mess, and that's what it is. Everything is a mess. It's the hog pen. All religions is a hog pen unless it's God's salvation and religion of the true gospel of Christ. All of it's a mess. The worst thing that could happen to a person is to become religious. I've said this a lot of times, and I want to say it again tonight. We would be better off, the world was better off, when they were cold and did not know anything about God and didn't care anything about God. They were much better off than they are in the day that we're living in. The people of today feel like this is the greatest day that we've ever had. They say this is the great day. Everybody is getting right with God. It is not the greatest day that we ever had. It's the worst day that we ever had. The Bible said, a lukewarm generation that I'll spew out of my mouth, a bunch of adulterers, he said. Despisers of the gospel, despisers of government, self-will, hate mother and daddy. Said they're adulterers, fornicators, liars, cheats. It's a horrible generation. It's religious, yes, like Cain was. But folks, let me tell you, they're all coming together. Politically, religiously, everything is coming together. That means that the end of the world is here. It means that the end of the world is here. Now you catalog this tonight in your heart, and you watch the things that Brother Pike says, see if they come to pass. The Bible said, if a man prophesies something, it don't come to pass, have no fear of that man. But if he says something and it come to pass, then you know that God has been in your midst. You watch what I'm telling you now. That's exactly where the thing is headed. And I say again that if all of them pray, it's just going to be one big abominable thing in the sight of God. Somebody say, well, it don't matter if a man is a sinner or wicked or whatever. If he prays, God will hear him. That's not Bible. The Bible says that you know, we know, that God heareth not a sinner. Nor a sinner's prayer. God don't hear sinner's prayers. Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, how does people get saved? You know how they get saved? When they hear the gospel, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not a sinner. They're a believer. Somebody say, I love Jesus. When they call on his name, they were elect from the foundation of the world, predestinated unto good works. God doesn't make mistakes. Brother, a sinner is somebody that knows to do good and won't do it and just keep on doing wrong. God isn't going to listen to their prayer. And the Bible said the prayer of the wicked is abomination in his sight. He won't hear the sinner's prayer. And if a person be wicked, he said that's abomination for him to talk to him. Because darkness and light hath no fellowship whatsoever. So then, where are we today? Not many mighty are called. Not many great men are called. They've made a mistake. They've tried to bring sports into it. They've tried to bring the world into it. They've tried to bring everything into it when God said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. What God is trying to do is to gather his children out of the world. God created the world. God wanted the gospel to go to the world. He still wants the gospel preached to the world. But God doesn't want us to bring the world into the church to get numbers, to have a great troop of people. God isn't in that. When Gideon got his great troop, God narrowed it down till he had a faithful few. In every case, God narrows it down. What we need to do is to believe God's word. What we need to do is forget about eating and drinking and gluttoning, money making and swindling and cutting corners. Just getting enough money to where we can get over here and buy and sell and have clothing and have food and have this and have that. We need to forget about that. The Bible teaches if you're going to labor, you should labor for one purpose. That is labor that you might have to give. Lay up your treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. For where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Now, that's why in the early church they sold all they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet. Didn't anyone say that anything they had belonged to them? They had all things common. They worked together. They had things together. Whatever they done, they lived together and they done what they could for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the early church. It's still the church. God doesn't have any church any different. Always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same today. He hasn't changed. What's the problem? The lack of knowledge. Paul said, in all utterance and in all knowledge. See, we perish from the lack of knowledge. We want to get out and we want to have a good time. That's one thing that I see wrong with some of the people. They'll come here for 2 or 3 months and off they go gallivanting around. And they'll say, I can't help it. I just can't help it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, the devil will say, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. My wife made me do it. My husband made me do it. My children got on my nerves. That wasn't it. A lust devil got on your nerves. And a gluttony devil got a hold of you. That's right. That old whoremongering spirit and that old harlot spirit got a hold of you, and you just couldn't help it because you didn't want to help it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And they go and wallow in the hog pens, get everything undone that I've done, and then come back and sling the slop everywhere. Somebody say, amen. That's what upsets me. I don't mind anybody making mistakes. But when you gallivant off for a few weeks and you stay just long enough to undo everything that I've done and to get practices and to practice things and make allowance and all of these kind of things, then here you come back and we're in trouble. If you move off of the campground, you stay just long enough to get your children, get somebody else used to, you start making a little allowance for them and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Yeah, you come back to the campground. When you get back, all of those children are not to blame. You did it. They come over here and they expect to do the same way you let them do over there. And then you trouble me and you trouble the people. I'm about to say, you sound like you're upset. I am. Believe it or not, I am. And I stay that way. I am upset with the devil and people that do things like that. I'm not quite as upset as Jesus was when he took a whip and went through the temple and flipped over the tables, but I'm upset about it. I think that we ought to take roots, get down to business with God, and stop riding the hobby horse of saying, I can't help it because the scissors got in my hair and caused me to be bobheaded. Because the devil got in my body and caused me to commit whoredom. Because the money devil got a hold of me and caused me to cheat my brother and not pay my bills. I just couldn't help it. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, are you mocking? I'm afraid I am. That's what I'm doing. I'm mocking. I believe you can tell it if you look close enough. The Bible said Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal. That's what I'm doing. The liars and the cheats, I'm mocking those things. God is not mocked, but the devils need to be mocked. You need to get out of those things. You need to straighten up your crooked life and come to God. And you need somebody to tell you like it is and not patty cake with you. It's all right to love little children. It's all right to cuddle little children. It's all right to put your arms around little children. But you're men and women that need to be told about your evils. And the Bible said to lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people of their sins and the house of Jacob of their transgressions. What you need to do is get away from that. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, when you do it, you should do it in love. This is love. God said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, you generation of vipers. That was loving and kind. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That prophet said, I wouldn't even speak to you if it wasn't for that other fellow over yonder. That was loving and kind. God is love. When God is upset, God is still love. When God is not upset, God is love. When God takes this world and turns it upside down and shakes it like a baby rattler, God is still love. When God hurls the thunderbolts across the skies and rips the earth to pieces, when God shakes it and tears it to bit with earthquakes, God is still love. When God takes the multitudes in the day of judgment and turns them into hell, God is still love. Nothing changed about God. God is love. Somebody said, well, I don't see how he could be very loving to me if he sent me to hell. He isn't very loving to you. He's been loving to you. He's loving to the other feller to get you out of his hair, as the world says, and to get you away from that man that's trying to do right because you're tormenting that man. And his love is toward that man to get a devil like you away from him and get you into the flame where he intended for you to be. Brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So then, we need the knowledge of God. We need the understanding of God. We need to preach the Word of God. We need to stop trying to preach like people want us to preach. Say things like people want us to say things. And when people sit there and say, oh my God, he's out of anointing, we need to get away from that kind of thing. God sent us to say what we got to say. No matter what the people think about it, it ain't got nothing to do with it. If you preach the Word of God and your heart's right with God and you've been with God, you got a job to do. Stop worrying about them. You get a bunch of devils that'll sit out there in the audience or in the tent or wherever, and they'll put bridles on you and they'll try in their mind, they'll try to control you with their spirit as to make you think this and make you think that and harass your mind to control you to keep you from doing anything to tear down the kingdom of the devil. That's the devil to start with. That's the one you're trying to get rid of. If there are sons and daughters of God, they'd be getting in there plowing the field with you, helping you get the snakes out, the roots up, burning the fields for the new ground. All right, so he said, in all utterance, in all knowledge, showing ourselves to be children of God. Now, they're going to be people. There's people in our midst at Bethlehem right now that still the devil's got a hold of. They ain't right with God, and I know they ain't right with God. And they're going to drift off with that thing that Billy Graham and these other people have got going. They're going to drift off in it. They already belong to it, but they're just here to trouble me. They come in and out to trouble me. just here long enough to trouble me. They're not going to live right, but they're going to trouble me. That's what it's for. But God's going to trouble them. He said, I'll trouble them and trouble you. See, and God's going to get them. And they try to pull their little gimmicks. They got little plans that they try to work. I was talking to my wife about some today. I see some working right now. And I told my wife today, I said, it ain't going to be that way. It ain't going to be that way. God's got the spider web all spotted, and he's got the spider spotted too. And I said, it ain't going to be like that at all, because I'm going to wait till he gets the web fixed real good and then kill the spider. I just wait and see. So then there's no need to do that. The Bible said they weave the web that they might catch you in it. That's their plans. But I tell you something, children of God, if we'll love the Lord and if we'll pray and we'll watch, they might weave the web and the dewdrops might sparkle, but you won't go near it. And when time comes, we'll tear it down and it won't be luring and enticing to the children. Now, don't get sticky fingers and you'll be all right in this world. Why is it that people don't want to do right? Because they got a devil. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, people don't want to do right because they got a devil. When a man or a woman don't do right, they've got a devil. And the devil needs to be cast out of them. Somebody said they just need to be tutored. They need the devil cast out of them. You can tutor all you want to, and the devil will take every bit of that tutoring. And while you're tutoring, he'll make him a mud pie, so to speak, because he's perverting everything you say and getting it all set up to use to his advantage to get him something out of this world with it. But brethren, I'll tell you what, like Brother Branham said, if you'll nail the board on right, the wind won't get it. Somebody will say, well, there's one thing about it. I don't like the way he preaches, but he sounds like he meant what he said. All right, now, we got a great thing at Little Bethlehem. You say, well, I don't see such a great thing. Well, you haven't got the great thing. I'm talking about we've got a great thing. You say, well, what is that great thing that you rave about? Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the great thing, that holy thing. We've got a great thing at Bethlehem. We got Jesus. And then besides that, we've got a lot of things that Jesus has blessed us with. He's with us and he's helping us. God is narrowing it down and shelling out and cutting off and sifting and bringing to light all of the uncleanness to where he can get his people ready for the rapture. But I want you to understand tonight that we are close to the end of the world. You got to get rid of your pouting. You got to get rid of that little thing every time somebody rubs you wrong, you flare up like an old cat. You know? You've got to get rid of that old surmising and resentment and jealousy and all of those discrediting things that rave in your mind and the demons and devils that harass you and your thoughts. That's death. And when you listen at them, you're going to die. And when you give place to them, you're going to die. But you know what David said? I'm not going to die, David said. I'm going to live. And I'm going to declare the works of God. I'm not going to die, but live and declare the works of God. How do you know that, David? Because I believe that. I believe that. Not for a day and not for a month, but from now on. Not going to die, but I'm going to live. I say that with David. I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live, and that throughout eternity, and I'm going to declare the works of God. Sing praises to the name of Jesus in the midst of my brethren and declare the works of God. So then, we've got a great thing here. The world is at an end. A lot of things I'd like to elaborate on. I always want to. I seem to never get around to them. But folks, with all of the Muslims, with all of the Catholics, with all of the Russians, with all of the Germans, with all of the Jews, with all of the Americans coming together, there's only one church that will house that kind of a union. That is Catholicism. And Billy Graham, as sure as you live in this world, is saying nothing but build an image, build an image, build an image. That's what he's saying, build an image. And he's using the name of Jesus. He's using religion. But Billy Graham is not living for God. Somebody said, well, I believe Billy's a Christian. Billy is not living for God. The Bible said, by their fruits ye shall know them. His fruits is not unto holiness. Because the Bible said our fruits is unto holiness. Amen. And Billy Graham is not bearing the fruits of holiness. Another thing, he's fellowshipping people of darkness. And the Bible said that darkness and light hath no fellowship. He is calling for an image, and that image is to the Catholic Church. To the papacy of Rome. And that's what the Roman Pope was doing over here. And folks, what we've got to do is stay away from it. Get away from it. Stay away from it. All of that out there, stay away from it. Every bit of it is headed for one thing, and that's the Trinitarian teachings of this world. Believing in three gods, won't even be baptized in the name of Jesus. How in the world could they believe in the name of Jesus when they won't even be baptized in the name of Jesus? And the first thing he'd done when he set up the church back there, Peter that is, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. All of them's going the same way. All of them's joining the same group. All of them's following the same thing. What they call the Holy Trinity. There is no such thing as the Holy Trinity. How do you know there's no such thing as the Holy Trinity? You don't read about no Holy Trinity in the Bible. People over here talking about the Pope of Rome said, and His Holiness knows everything, and His Holiness understands what God's going to do. Why, the Pope of Rome ain't His Holiness. That's blasphemy. The Pope of Rome needs to be born again so he can be holy. For the Bible said, be holy as I'm holy. There's only one His Holiness, that's Jesus. Somebody said, well, I don't think you ought to talk about them folks like that. Well, I think I ought to talk about them like that. Somebody needs to talk about them like that. The Lamb blessed the president, and the Lamb blessed the senators, and the Lamb blessed the congressman and everybody else. What they need to do is talk about the people that's bringing in false teachings. And when you teach a man that all he's got to do is believe and he's going to heaven, that's a false teaching. The Bible said ye must be born again. Not just believe. You got to be born again. Jesus said, lest a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he'd not even see the kingdom of God. What he needs to do, he needs to be born again. We're not just preaching, you just got to believe. You got to be born again. And this thing about having thousands of people come up to the altar, Muslims and everything else, through Morris Cirilla and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne and hundreds of others. I know that some of them people come to God. I know that some of them people are elected. I understand that. But I'll guarantee you that God won't let T.L. Osborne go in the kingdom of God, and he won't let Billy Graham go in the kingdom of God, and he won't let Morris Cirilla go in the kingdom of God, and he won't let any of the others go in the kingdom of God unless they preach God's gospel and preach the name Jesus. I don't care how many people they draw. That ain't got nothing to do with it. They can talk about the name Jesus. That's no more than Jimmy Carter does. He draws thousands of people. And talks about the name Jesus. That don't mean nothing. He curses out this corner and talks about Jesus out the other corner. Somebody said, but them boys don't do that. Some of them do worse than that. All Jimmy does is a little cursing. Some of them, they do a whole lot worse than that. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now you say, well, what do you think about it, Brother Pike? I think they need to get straight with God. That's what I think. I think they need to get straight with God and stop playing games. I remember when T.L. Osborne was doing a lot of good, but T.L. Osborne needs to come to the name Jesus Christ and straighten up from that thing of playing games, because that's exactly what he's doing right now. Billy Graham needs to do the same thing. Morris Cirilla needs to do the same thing. Numbers of others need to do the same thing. It's time to quit playing and time to get down to business with God. And let the gospel be preached in all the world for a witness. And stop the foolishness. All right. Somebody said, you shouldn't have said it, but I did in spite of all. Say, now, don't you want to take that back? I certainly do not. I said it. I'm happy that I said it. I've said it before. We need to cry out against the wrong. Those men need to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and preach the name of Jesus Christ and stop this thing. The church of God, the assemblies of God, the Pentecostal holiness, all of them needs to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All of them. Because if they don't, they'll go to hell. Somebody said, I don't believe it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, they'll still go to hell. You know, your believing isn't going to stop it. If those people don't confess the name of Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, the assemblies of God, the church of God, the Pentecostal holiness, they'll go to hell. The church of God, just like all the rest of them, will go to hell. Somebody said, you don't believe that. I sure do believe that. I sure do believe that. Somebody said, but then, while the church of God's got the Holy Ghost, I tell you what I believe. The church of God that had the Holy Ghost ain't the church of God no more as far as the title. They done come out of that and they belong to places like little Bethlehem and different places around the world. That's what the church of God was. All of them assembly of God, saints of God and Pentecostal holiness people that one time was out there that had the Holy Ghost, all of them just about come out of them churches. And the Bible said they're becoming a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. They're becoming a cage. God's people one time was in them, sure. The church of God, it was Holy Ghost filled people. But the Holy Ghost led them out and led them on to Jesus' name in the fullness of the walk of God. And them churches have become dead and uprooted, having a name that they live near dead, twice dead and plucked up by the root. Amen.
Amen.
It's narrowing down to where we're just getting a few amens up here. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus got so straight all of them forsook him, even the 70. And he asked the 12 if they was going to leave too. Started off with a big gathering, all of them left. Till he got down to the 12, he said, well, all of them's gone, the 70's gone, you're going to leave too? Praise God.
Praise God.
All right, so then we know where we're going. I'd like to see Billy get saved. I'd love to see Morris get saved. I'd love to see the others get saved. I'm sure they've had some kind of experience with God, or they wouldn't talk about the Lord Jesus. But that ain't going to take them to heaven. They need to get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Men who are filled with God's Holy Ghost don't do the things some of them men are doing. They don't do it. All right. You will stand with me. When a man won't come to the name of Jesus Christ and preach baptism in Jesus' name, there's something wrong with him. Somebody said, well, God didn't send me to baptize. You know, I've heard them say that a lot of times. They say, well, I'm like Paul. God sent you to baptize. He didn't send me to baptize. I didn't say you had to baptize. I said you had to preach baptism in Jesus' name. Paul preached baptism in Jesus' name. You can't get in a rut and sidestep God's word by using some flimsy thing like that. You got to preach it. You may not baptize. It might be Apollos that does the baptizing. You might have somebody with you that does the dipping in the water. But brother, you're going to have to preach the gospel. And the gospel said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you can't tell me God didn't send you to preach the gospel. If he sent you at all, he sent you to preach the gospel. All right, God's good. Ain't he good? He's good. Praise God. All right, I love you all. I might not sound like I do, but I do. That's why I tell you these things. I say, someday something will happen to you, Brother Pike. I'll tell you what, if it does, I thank God for one thing. I told you before it did happen to me. I'm glad to say if it happened to me, it happened after I told you, because I'd hate to think that it happened before I told you. So it's so wonderful to be a Christian. It's so wonderful to talk about the wonderful things of God. I see great men, but they're falling. Brethren, they're falling, and the land is full of false prophets. You say, what's a false prophet, Brother Pike? A man that says he's preaching the gospel and don't have the Holy Ghost, he's a false prophet. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, if he's ignorant and never heard of the Holy Ghost and don't know nothing about it, then when you tell him about it, being an elect, he'll immediately get it. You say, where do you get that? Because the Bible said Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, just knowing the baptism of John. But when they told him about the Holy Ghost, he went right on and got it because he was God's elect. But you see these people that know better
evading it and compromising and working in every way that they can. They call it wisdom. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I just love to see the way they do things, you know, because I've been down them same trails. And the devil say, now, Brother Pike, what you need to do is use wisdom. And you could be with this church and that church. All I had to do was use wisdom and compromise with every devil that come along. Just took a little of their worldly wisdom, you know. And I could have compromised with every devil and done the same thing. Long before some of them done it. And I could have had a pile of money. That's what they've done, is compromise with devils. That's what they've done. I don't see nothing wrong with talking to a movie star if you tell him he needs to be born again. And tell him he needs to get full of the Holy Ghost. And needs to tell him, and if you tell him that he needs the fruits of holiness in his life. But if you go up to him and you say, I'm Church of God, I'm Assembly. And you act like you're so ashamed of holiness that you can't get out the next word. You're in worse shape than he is. He'll stand in a better light in the day of judgment than you will. Somebody will shy around holiness and they'll say, them holiness people. And then here comes the Pope and they'll say, his holiness. Strain it on that and swallow a Pope. Swallow a camel. But that's what it amounts to. If you're ashamed of holiness, when the Pope comes over, be ashamed of holiness. Don't say nothing about holiness. Say, that's the Pope. Somebody say, that's his holiness. So don't say that word. But if we're not ashamed of holiness, when the Pope comes, let's don't be ashamed of holiness when it's holiness at Bethlehem or holiness at the Assemblies of God or holiness at the Church of God or holiness in the Baptist Church or wherever. The Bible said God is the Spirit of holiness. And if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'll tell you one thing. The only clean thing there is in this universe is holiness. Everything else is a filthy rag. All right. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. I love you folks. I just want to tell you the way I understand it and the way God said it, so that we'll all understand in the day of judgment. Billy's no doubt a great fella. So is Oral Roberts and the others. But they're on the wrong trail. They're going down a wrong trail. It's the path of no return. Somebody said, well, you'll meet them all in heaven. Sure as you live. Those men continue the way they're going, they ain't going to be in heaven. As sure as you live, they ain't going to be there. Somebody said, you don't know. You're judging another man's servant. The Bible said, judge righteous judgment. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. You'll tell a tree by the fruit it bears. They're not bearing the fruits of holiness. And the Bible said, you'll have your fruits unto holiness. The child is known by his doing. They're not going to heaven like that. Don't be dismayed. Don't be distorted. Don't be tore up. That's what the devil would like for you to do. He'd like for you to see this and that and something else and say, well, they made it doing that. That's what tore the church all to pieces. One time the Church of God really had something, and the Assemblies of God really had something, and was moving on toward the light of God. And then when that thing about Oral Roberts started and Billy Graham and all this other, some of them left the holiness church and went Baptist. Some of them left the Jesus name churches and went Trinity. Now you say, you don't know that. There was a report I got. It tore them up so bad they got so confused they didn't know what they was doing. Even Brother Charlie Elliott's own brother left the Holiness Church and went Methodist. Why not? Oral Roberts went Methodist. He left the Holiness Church. Now you tell me that's God. The Bible said confusion's of the devil. And that's confusion. That's confusion. How do you believe that's confusion? Today I'm Church of God, tomorrow I'm Assembly of God, the next day I'm Pentecostal Holiness, the next day I'm UPC, the next day I'm Catholic. Well, you know what I'm going to be. I just say I'm a Christian and let that take care of it. That's a once and for all. That's what we ought to be anyway. When you're a Christian, you ain't worrying about the Baptists, the Assemblies of God, the Methodists, or whatever. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, well, if you left the Assemblies, you'd be in bad shape. You left the Church of God. Just think what kind of condition you'd be in. If you left the UPC, look what would happen to you. I can't find on the day of Pentecost whether it was any UPC or Assembly or Church of God or anything else
Nobody said anything about it. If it was there, there's no writings about it. There's no record about it. Peter nor nobody else said anything about belonging to it. Nobody. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, well, it was no little Bethlehem. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. No, there was no little Bethlehem as far as the church organization. But brother, we don't have an organization here. This is just a church to where you can come and worship God. As far as the church that the Assemblies of God built, they're just as good as anybody's if you go there and worship God. Jesus went into the synagogues where the Jews was. Worship God, the synagogues, was just as good as any other church. Any church that's erected to the name of Jesus Christ, if you go in there and worship God, if they'll let you worship God in there, if it's a Catholic church, that's all right. While I was over in Jerusalem, we went into a Catholic church up on the hillside, and I told the priest I wanted to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I said, I want to talk to these people about Jesus Christ and read the scriptures. And he backed off and let me. I told him about Jesus right there, and the wonderful presence of God came down, and somebody began to prophesy right there in the Catholic church. So then it's not the titles. Preach the gospel to every creature, the Muslims, the Catholics, the Baptists. I believe that you ought to preach the gospel to the rich man, the poor man, all of them. Preach the gospel to them, but not join them and not try to bring them all together in some kind of group. You can't do that. That's the Pope's way of doing things. That's Catholicism. Go in and bless the Muslims, and go in and bless the Christians, and go in and bless this and bless that and bless everything. How are you going to bless something when God's cursed it? How are you going to curse something when God's blessed it? You can't bless it that God's cursed. The Bible said, if a man come to you with anything other than what I've taught you, Paul said, let that man be accursed. He said, if it be an angel. Don't have to be a Muslim or a Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. He said, if it be an angel, let him be accursed. As I have said, so say I again, he said, to strengthen his statement. Said, let him be accursed. And said, if you receive him into your house and bid him Godspeed, you're partakers of his evil doings, and God will get you for it. Said, don't even as much as receive him into your house, especially into this holy temple here that's your body. All right, let's preach the gospel to every creature. Tell them about Jesus. But let's not fellowship darkness. Let not be partakers of their evil. Let's keep ourselves clean. And let's not preach a coming together of religions, but rather a coming together of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of them that's been born again, making everybody come through the door, and everybody come the same way. The Bible said, be of the same mind. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And the Bible said here, where I read to you tonight, that we should be of the same mind. I beseech you, brethren, be of the same mind. Not a Trinity mind and a oneness mind. Not to be of a Mohammedan mind and a Protestant mind, a Catholic mind, a Muslim mind. Not to be of that, but of one mind. What mind is that? The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. This is what we need to come together in. What mind is that? That's the Bible. This is our foundation, folks. Other foundations can no man lay. This is where we come together in agreement right here. When people agree with us on the Word of God, then we come together. If they do not agree with us on the Word of God, we don't come together. Somebody would say, well, I think that Billy Graham agrees with us. The Bible said, have your fruits unto holiness. This mind, this Word, said you have your fruits unto holiness. Billy Graham don't preach fruits unto holiness. He couldn't be in agreement with us. If he's not in agreement with us, two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Brethren, speak the same thing. Be in the same mind, either join Billy Graham's way of life or join God's way of life. Let's sing a little chorus together. You can be sure of one thing. When everybody speaks well of somebody, they're a false prophet. The Bible said, woe unto that man that everybody speaks well of, for they did that to the false prophets.
I never get trouble until everybody starts thinking too much of me. And then it starts bothering me. Because I know that ain't the right way. And I start checking up. You go downtown and your creditors pat you on the back. Everybody pats you on the back. Your wife pats you on your back. And the children pat you on the back. Your neighbors pat you on the back. Everybody's got something good to say about you. You know you're a false prophet. Now, the Bible said Jesus grew in favor with man and God. They having no evil thing to say about your good way of life. They're not going to say much about you that's good, but they just can't think of anything bad to say about you. Some of them is going to dig up something to come against you with and cast your name out as evil. They did that to the prophets of God. They're going to do that. But I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. You can be a Christian, folks. You can be a real lady. You women, listen at me. You can be a real lady. I mean a real lady. You can be a real lady. You get the dirt and filth out of your mind and you can be a lady. Don't faint in your mind. Don't think on corruption. You men can be real gentlemen. Get the filth out of your mind. Get the filth out of your mind. You can be real gentlemen. Be real children of God. That's what we need to do. Have a wholehearted cleansing of our heart and mind. All right, we'll sing this little chorus. It's just about 24 things that I feel like I need to say tonight, but I know I can't get around to them tonight, so I guess we'll have to leave them for next time. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. You know, when we're preaching, we're not mocking except the devil. But a lot of times I pick up your spirit, you know, and somebody says, yes, he's mocking. And I just stretch it out a little bit and go on in that direction to let you know it's all right to mock the devil that the prophet's done it. And just to override your guard and tear down your defense so that you won't be wise in your own conceit. And I don't like to sound too polished, too uptown, and too much of what the world wants. Because if you do, they get the finger on you. Sometimes we sound a little like that. You can't help it. But I'd rather veer off this way and that way and another way. And bring in an old countryfied expression. And bring it back down to earth. And speak about the hog pen and the sow wallowing in the mire and the dog going back to his vomit. And that takes it out of the first church as far as the worldly church. But they don't object to that in the first church of the firstborn of heaven. That's good language. That's Christian language. And that's why I do it. But I want you to know tonight, Paul said, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. In all utterance and knowledge, we need to think about this thing, because so many more things tonight that we need to know about. The world is at an end. And Billy Graham, mark what I'm telling you, Billy Graham is one of your key men that's fixing to wind the world up. He is one of the major leaders of the end time that's going to help bring the world to an end. Hey, you watch. Now you say, well, what if he dies? He's done enough already. If he dies tomorrow to fulfill what I said. But you watch and see what I'm telling you. Billy Graham is one of the main things. Oral is being used. Satan is taking advantage of him. But oral is begging. He's gone down to his knees. He's begging. He's just about to lose out altogether because he compromised. But Billy,
Billy is going to be one of the main leaders. The Pope of Rome is going to be one of the main leaders. And they're going to join up with the Rabbi of Israel. And together, they're going to bring the thing to a close. And then the Rabbi is going to be pushed out of the picture. And the leader of Russia will step right in to make up the Trinity of that beast that come up out of the waters. You just watch and see. I wish we had more time to elaborate on it tonight. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, it'll happen. Their teachings, their system, their way of life, the things that they've done, not altogether the things that they've said, for Jesus said concerning the scribes and Pharisees, said, do what they tell you. Because they talk about what Moses said, but don't do as they do. And I'm not speaking of some of the things that Billy has said concerning Christ, because they use that as bait to draw the world. But the things that they have done, the way that they've gone about it, and the people that they've associated with in the world of darkness, they have formed the union and the strength already that the beast's body is already united together, and all he's got to do is show his hoary head. That's all he's got to do. He's waiting right now for one thing: at the rapture of the church, like that, out goes Lucifer. And when Lucifer goes out, he's going to incarnate himself in that great leader. And when he does, that's when the trouble will start. That's when all of those that are living at that time will know that they've missed the boat, as we say. That they've missed the rapture, that it took God's Spirit to get the church out of here. Folks, I tell you, in the name of the Lord, you can be Baptist, Assembly of God, Methodist, Church of God, or whatever you want to. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be raptured or translated, as Paul said, as Enoch was. You're not going to be translated. And you can say that you've got the Holy Ghost all you want to, but if you're not walking in the Word, having your fruits unto holiness, you do not have the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you speak in tongues, if you dance, you shout, you can do what you want to. If your life isn't a life of holiness and fruits unto holiness, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I believe they do. Well, your belief is of the devil. I don't mind telling you. A man that's got the Holy Ghost will have his fruits unto holiness. That's where the problem is now. We don't draw the line. We vary a little over here and we get over here a little bit and we're afraid to come right down the middle with it. Say, well, maybe, Brother Pike, there's no maybe about it. You either are or you ain't. You're either in or you're out. You're either darkness or you're light. You're either of the devil or you're of God. And if you've got fruits unto holiness, you've got the Holy Ghost. If you do not have fruits unto holiness, you do not have the Holy Ghost. When a person comes to God and they believe as a babe in Christ, that person is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and kept in the warmth of the mother's love. Kept in the warmth of the mother's love. But that is a predestinated seed of God, and the Holy Ghost will show forth in its life because it has the life of God. But a person that is not predestinated, not of God, and when I say predestinated, I don't mean like the Baptist, the Methodist teachings, some of the teachings that some of the people talk about in the Brother Branham teachings. I'm talking about being predestinated in Him. The Bible said God hath predestinated us in Him. That is to say, whatever Jesus is, if we are in Jesus Christ, walking in Him, talking in Him, or if God sees that we are going to walk in Him and talk in Him, we are predestinated unto righteousness. If God does not see that, we are not predestinated
unto godliness. We are predestinated in Christ Jesus. People who take the outlook that I could be one of the predestinated, I just don't live right, and there ain't no need to worry about it, because if I am, I'm going to make it. If I ain't, I ain't going to make it. I can tell you tonight, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. Because the predestination is in Christ, and everyone that is born of God is in Christ, and everyone that's in Christ walks accordingly as Christ, and everyone that's in that spirit in Christ walks in godliness. They are the predestinated of God. The others are of the devil. There's no need to them wondering as to whether they might be or not. They are not. So then, those that are the predestinated of God, the life of Jesus Christ will eventually show forth in their lives, and they'll walk in holiness and have their fruits unto holiness. If a man can't do that, he's of the devil, and he will be lost. Folks, I hope this will soak in tonight, and you'll get down to business and get off of that halfway mark and get off the fence and off of that teeter-tottering, and say, my God, I got to do something. I got to get in here, or I got to get out of here and run for my life. I got to do something. The Bible said to make to yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that when God rejects you, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation, because you're going to have to dwell somewhere. All right, let's sing this chorus. If you've got a mother, if you've got a daddy, if you've got a sister, if you've got a brother, get off of that halfway thing of saying, well, they don't know, and I think God will be merciful. Get down to business and start praying and say, my God, save that person before they die and go to hell. A lot of you are just idling along, and some of your relatives have already died, and you've taken that old outlook. Well, they just didn't know, and God isn't going to require it. You don't know what they know. And the day we're living in is very few people could live in this day and not know what's right. You better start praying for them, that God will save your soul. The Bible said, pray, make intercession, that God will grant repentance unto life unto those that are without. Start praying. Get away from this thing that's called, the Bible speaks of preachers. It speaks of preachers. The Bible said they creep into houses. Can you imagine that? Preachers that creep. The Bible speaks of dark things, dark creatures of darkness that creep. They creep into houses, preachers that creep into houses, and they thrive off of silly women. The Bible said silly women. You know, when it says silly women, that also takes in the flesh. There's men that are silly. They're very silly. They're very fleshly, feminine, silly. After the things of the world. People who are after the things of the world are silly women. And the Bible said they creep into houses and take silly women that are laden with divers lusts. That's different kind of devils of lust. Divers lusts, like they lust after jewelry, and they lust after clothes, and they lust after land, and they lust after people or men. They creep into these houses, and they know that these silly women are just laden with lust, and they get in there and intermingle with them and become as silly as they are and as feminish as they are. And the Bible said they lead them captive, and they rob them of everything they got. Rob them, because the women are silly. But thank God for a Holy Ghost-filled woman that's not silly, and a Holy Ghost-filled man that's not silly, that loves God. The Bible refers to these women as great women. Paul spoke of them as great, as being great women. But that's the kind of preachers they are in the land today. There's still some godly ones, but they're getting fewer and fewer and fewer. All right, we will sing. I know you're wondering when we're going to get to it, but we got to it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while on others thou art calling. Oh, do not pass me by. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. You know, we say, well, Brother Pike, I believe that men like Billy Graham is going into heaven. But the same people that say that, you say, well, do you believe that all of them people that Billy has had to come to the altar that confess Christ is going into heaven? Oh, no. They'll say, I don't believe that. All them millions of people, no, I don't believe that. You know, they say that Billy has been seen by more people than any man in the history of mankind. Did you know that? They say that his face has been seen by more people than Jesus' face. Than Jesus' face. That his face was seen by more people than any person that ever lived in the history of mankind. I believe it's reasonable to believe that if Billy is going to heaven, then all of the others will be there with him. Now let's just accept it that way. If he is going to heaven and he told them that, and he's doing the same thing that they do, and they made the same confession that he made, why not take them all to heaven? The movie stars are confessing Christ. The churches are confessing Christ. The dope addicts, the drunkards, the harlots, the presidents, the political powers, they're all confessing Christ. The Catholics, all of them across the world, practically everybody, and they will continue on to do it. Now somebody said, well, if they confess Christ, that means that God has accepted them. I don't know where you get that in the Bible. That doesn't mean that God has accepted them. The Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, and he that endureth to the end, in that he did confess his sins and did forsake his sins and continued to leave his sins alone, by continuing to the end, holding the faith unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the Bible said, if you have not his spirit, you are none of his. If the basketball players, the football players, the racers, the car races, the movie stars, the presidents, whether they curse or whether they drink or whether they race or whether they go to the frolics or whether they run around in bathing suits or run track in shorts or whatever, if all of them has got God and they're doing those things, and we need to close the doors at Little Bethlehem, and we need to get out of the preaching business, and every holiness preacher that believes in real holiness needs to shut his mouth and stop calling himself a preacher. But if what we say is right, and it certainly does agree with the Bible, and what they say don't agree with the Bible, and if what we say is right, then they need to shut their mouths, because them people are going to hell. And they compass land and sea to make a proselyte, and they make him twofold more the child of hell than he was if he had been an unbeliever. Because when he was an unbeliever, he was onefold the child of hell, in the sense he was going to hell, but he did have a chance for somebody to preach to him and reach him. But then he's twofold more the child of hell because he's been indoctrinated that he can't go to hell. And now he believes he's all right and he's on his way to heaven.
Folks, you've got enough of God and understanding to know that what they're doing ain't right. You know that the heaven ain't going to be full of running around joggling in shorts and basketballs and swimming suits and baseball players. Somebody said, well, don't you believe there'll be baseball players? Them that confess their sins and left baseball off. Them that got out of the football business, them that left the basketball business off. Them that got out of the shorts and began to dress holy. They'll be there if they confess Christ. But all of this other, my friend, is going to be turned into hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And just to confess Christ and leave off the Bible, it means you've forgotten God. It don't mean that you've got Christ. I say these things because I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, lest Satan should corrupt your mind away from the simplicity of Christ, which is holiness, your fruits unto holiness. I want to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin without spot, without blemish. I don't want you to be confused or half-hearted and think these preachers have got something and turn aside after those things. If you turn aside after them, then you know you deserve to go to hell if you follow that after you've been told the truth. Because if you have not a love for the truth, God will send you strong delusions, cause you to believe that they're right. And you'll follow after it and cause you or let you be damned. But some of you that are going in and out the things of God, and some of you are doing it, being lighthearted, and you do your evil, and then you come back, and you do your evil, and then you come back. And he said, well, the Lord's merciful. He'll forgive me. I say this, God is merciful. He'll forgive sin, whereas you're going to reap every seed you put in the ground. Though he forgive you, you're still going to reap that wrong. You're going to reap a sorrow and a chastisement for that. Though you may get in as up a fire, your soul may be saved. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going in and out. That becomes willful sin. And God will cut you off. You are not getting through every time you come and repent like you think you are. You are reflecting the gospel and you are reflecting the blessings of God and feeling his goodness. But you're not getting through like you think you are. You're still on the outside. You don't have the light in you. You're only standing in the light. And when the light goes out, you're going to be a creature of darkness in the darkness. And you're going to discover that you are a creature of darkness and that you're on the midst of the children of light. So you listen to me tonight. Going in and out, you'd better stop it. While there is opportunity, if there is opportunity, you'd better stop it before it's too late. Stop playing with God. While you've got a chance, friend, stop. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come and dismiss us. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. I hope that these things that Brother Pike says to you from time to time will enrich you. Paul said, being enriched in all utterance and in all knowledge. And I hope that they are enriching you. And I know that if you love the truth, that this is the truth, and you will become richer. If you do not love the truth, God will let you believe your own thinking, which is that carnal mind of corruption from your first birth. And it is called the reprobate mind to every good work. Contrary and believe a lie, he'll let you be damned.